Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, I'll be introducing our guest for this evening, Greg Stewart. Greg will be joining us to talk about spiritual destiny, and that does include a wonderful love story for Valentine's Day. Now, before I introduce Greg, I would like to welcome my co-host, Maureen. How are you this evening?
Okay, happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
Oh, sure. I'm okay, and I'm glad I'm here with you, and then I know you'll be introducing our guest host, but I'm happy. Hi, Julie, and everybody in the chat room, too, and happy Valentine's Day to everybody. I'm doing okay, and this is what I do. I say nice things that don't mean anything. No, I work with everybody here at PsychicAccess.com, and I am an intuitive empath, and tarot is my main tool of choice, and I do feel the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience, just what my point is, and I take my work very seriously. I have a sense of humor, but this is what I do. I help others, and I get a lot back from them as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Maureen, and thank you for being with us, as always.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
You do have a good sense of humor. We have a good laugh. We have good times.
Good times.
And welcome to our guest host this evening, Rez Miranda.
Hello.
Welcome back, Rez. It's good to have you with us on this special day.
Thank you so much. What a perfect day to join you guys, because I love you.
Well, love you too.
We love you too.
Hi, everybody in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. This is going to be an interesting show.
It will be. Always is. Well, Rez, could you tell our listeners about your work?
Yes, I love to talk to folks about their love relationships, how they can understand how to have more love, have the love they deserve, be in the kind of relationship they want to be in. And so it's a bit of a combination of tarot, psychic ability, and coaching. So we can, if it's not going your way, let's check it out.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Rez. We're really happy to have you with us on this special day, February the 14th. Well, in a moment, I will introduce our special guest for this evening, Greg Stewart. Greg is a very interesting man. He's a trance medium, healer, and lecturer committed to sharing his experience and knowledge of mediumship to believers and non-believers from all spiritual and religious backgrounds. After traveling extensively to Brazil to visit some of the world's greatest spiritual centers, Greg learned Portuguese so that he could build bridges between the two cultures and deepen his spiritual understanding. At a time when the American culture is just beginning to get exposed to more psychic phenomena and the spirit world from the media and Ghostbuster-style television shows, Greg's committed to sharing his knowledge through a series of lectures such as What It Means to Be Spiritual. Greg and his wife Thania are also active in a charitable non-profit group called Brazilian Spiritual Healing, which is a popular healing circle in Northern California. Thanks to other mediums, healers, and friends that support Brazilian Spiritual Healing, Greg and Thania are able to demonstrate a type of trance mediumship that's very rare in the United States, the channeling of spirit doctors for the purpose of healing. If you'd like more information about Greg and Thania, please visit their wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/Brazilian Spiritual Healing. Well, Greg, good evening and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Steve. It's so nice to be here.
It's wonderful to have you with us,
and
Greg.
Hello, everyone else.
It's great, great to speak with you last week in advance of the show, and I know that you've got a lot of very interesting knowledge and experiences to share with our listeners. Well, Greg,
well,
my first question
like
for you is, how did you first become interested in Trent's mediumship and healing?
Well, Steve, you know, I'd like to say this was by accident, but I'm sure that most of your panel there, most of your listeners will agree that nothing in life seems to happen by accident. But I'd lived, you know, almost my entire adult and professional life, and then during a series of events, one which was a painful divorce, and another one was buying a business 3,000 miles away from my home on the East Coast, during the time I was very vulnerable. And I received an invitation from a friend who wanted me to escort her to Brazil to see the famous healer, John of God. And so that began this journey. And it seemed to come out of left field for me because it was a time in my life when I was busy trying to develop a new business. I had not heard from this friend in approximately a year. And when she asked me if I could, you know, sit with her on the plane, and I said, well, why do you want me to do this? He said, well, I'm dying of cervical cancer, and I really feel that I need to go and see this healer, and I think you're the person who should go and accompany me for the trip. Well, I knew I was going to say no, but I told her I would sleep on it so that the next morning when I woke up, I'd have a list of 50 really good reasons why I wouldn't be going to Brazil with her. And in that moment, Steve, it was what I believe was one of my first recognized mediumistic experiences. I literally heard a voice. It was not a dream. I was fully awake. I was fully conscious, even though I was still in bed, just waking up. And the voice said very, very sternly in a loving manner, go to Brazil. And before I could stop my hand from reaching for the telephone, I called her and said, okay, I'll go with you. And the next thing you know, in 3 weeks, she had the tickets arranged, and we were in Brazil. And this happened in October 2003. It was sitting in Brazil with the healer in what they call the current room, which is the room where John of God has his big platform rocker, and he sits and attends all the people, sometimes up to 1,000 people a day, that I begin to have these mediumistic experiences. Now, what I've learned in the past 10 years, in retrospect, is that something to do with being around other mediums, because there's many mediums from all over the world that go there and also healers, sitting in the energy of the other healers, the energy of the spirits, and this current that's so important for the healing work that John of God does, this tended to open up what we call my chakras. And even though I'd had experiences with mediumship as a child, I didn't recognize what they were because, as most of you are aware, particularly when I was born in 1958, much of our culture at that time did not support mediumship and even psychic phenomena. So I had experiences, but I didn't recognize that's where they were. So here, many years later, sitting in this environment, I became open, and it was a whole brand new world to me. And so a lot of what I've learned over the last 9-10 years has been trying to catch up to explain some of my own experiences and try to, you know, put the pieces together, as I call it, connect the dots.
What's really interesting, Greg. Greg, you mentioned John of God at the beginning, and I know that you explained a little to me about John of God when we spoke on the telephone last week. But I wanted to ask if you could explain about John of God to our listeners, because that's a really fascinating part of the story as well.
Well, John of God he's considered one of Brazil's most accomplished and well-known trance mediums. He's been doing this, I would have to say, for more than 50 years. And for many of those years, he was virtually unknown in the world, practicing in a very remote place in Brazil, in the state of Goiás, which is central Brazil, near the capital, Brasilia. And he comes from a tradition of Brazilian Umbanda. Now, this will surprise many of your listeners who know John of God because he calls himself a good Catholic. Now, now that I've said he's a good Catholic, I have to explain to your listeners that out of the maybe 17, 18 times I've been to Brazil, and of course now, you know, Tanya, my wife, is Brazilian, so I've learned a bit about the culture. Brazilians innately seem to accept mediumship and spirituality differently than Americans, and I think it has to do with the way the country of Brazil was founded. So for John of God to be a medium in a small town in Brazil practicing healing would not be that out of the ordinary. Now, of course, we had our own Edgar Cayce, but the Edgar Cayces of the United States are far and few between. Where in Brazil, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of mediums, and then there's a actual cultural philosophy and science that supports them called Spiritism. And one who, of course, studies Spiritism is a Spiritist. Brazil today, on last count, has over 20 million practicing Spiritists, with spiritual centers sometimes as large as a city block. I visited one in Brasilia that had over 220 classrooms where they study things like transmediumship, materialization, healing, channeling, throughout different days of the week. So with that said, this is what the culture of Brazil accepts. But there are also many of them Catholics. So it would be certainly ordinary for someone to go to Mass on Sunday and then to go to their Spiritus Center or perhaps an Umbanda Center in the middle of the week during the evening. And the Brazilians don't see a conflict with that. So I think the level of which they accept the cultural aspect of mediumship and religion as one and together, I think is absolutely awesome. And so
it sounds like we all need to go and live there, Greg. It's hot as well, isn't it? The weather's good.
Yes, the weather's good. It gets a little hot in the summer. So back to John of God. He is a trance medium who's well known there, and then in the last 15 years he became extremely well known in the world because people started going there and writing books about him, putting up websites. Even Oprah Winfrey took a trip to see John of God in 2012. And the Brazilians tell me that once Oprah went to visit John of God, then even more Brazilians know about him because Oprah is very famous in Brazil. And so all of this, of course, is tied in with the internet and media, including your own radio show, how the world is becoming a smaller place. So you've had many, many people travel to see John of God. Now, I've called him a trance medium. Why is it that he's also a healer? Because Spiritists believe that the phenomena of healing is a subset of mediumship, and that the really great healings that happen with the assistance of what they call the good spirits. And so they even break it down further than this. Mediumship is actually, as you know, many of your listeners and many of you on the show are mediums. There's a particular type of mediumship called physical effects mediumship, which is where one can channel not only the energy and ectoplasm of their own body, but also the energy of nature and also spirit world. And so John of God is a physical effects mediumship who specializes in healing. And if that would be the best way I could describe him.
Well, Greg, I want to ask you, why is it that mediumship is so deeply entrenched in Brazilian culture? What is different about Brazil that causes the Brazilians to be so more accepting of mediumship?
You know, that's a great question, Steve, and I want your listeners to be patient with me because I'm somewhat opinionated, and so a lot of this comes from my opinion. So I'm going to tell you my opinion, and I also invite your listeners to go and to also make their own study of Brazil, because one thing's for sure, Brazilians accept mediumship wholeheartedly. Now, my opinion is this. Brazil and the United States, the two countries, were founded around the same time in history. Of course, in the United States, we had the English coming over, and we had people fleeing England for freedom of religion. But the interesting thing about the United States is that the people that came to have freedom of religion, once they got to the United States, they imposed their strict religious beliefs on others that were here, including the Indians. And so the United States, although it's legally free, and we do have an incredible constitution and great laws, culturally, for many years, the United States was not feeling free of religion. In fact, many of the spiritualists who first started practicing mediumship in the mid-1800s did so behind what we say closed doors. Now, the reason why Brazil is different, because the Portuguese came to Brazil and they weren't interested in settling Brazil. What they really cared about was the gold and the natural resources and growing sugarcane and getting money. And many of them went to Brazil and then went back to Europe. Some of the ones that stayed, it's my understanding, had large plantations, and accidentally, some of the slave women from Africa that they imported to Brazil, just like the Americans did, some of the slave women became pregnant from the Portuguese. Well, the Portuguese men did something nice. Typically, they would move them into the house. And the next question was from some of these African women was, we'd like to be free to practice our religion. So what they would do is they would build temples on the land of the large plantations. And so there was a freedom of the slaves from Africa to practice their spirit-based religions. And since there wasn't an agenda to form any religious agenda in Brazil, over the years as the country developed, it socially remained a very free place for religious ideals and experiences. So you see, you had a background of which there were religions that were operating in Brazil that were spirit-based. And then you had the Catholics, and you had Christians. And then something else interesting happening in the 1850s is you had the advent of Spiritism in Paris, France. And that's a very important point in history. The same thing happened in the United States. We had Spiritualism also with the Fox sisters who had experienced phenomena, and they made international news also in the 1850s. But you see, in France, they had a man named Alan Kardec who created what's called the doctrine of Spiritism. Now, most people aren't aware, but if you were a wealthy Brazilian in the late 1800s, you spoke French because that was the international language, and you went to Paris to shop. And so what happened? The wealthy Brazilians went to Paris, learned about Spiritism, brought the Spirits book and the doctrine of Spiritism back to Brazil. And this gave an intellectual reason for now we understand how we can accept, from an intellectual standpoint, the practice of talking with spirits. And so this gave Brazil a more credible way to explain the phenomenon. And so from there, in the last couple hundred years, it's now grown to 20 million spiritists in Brazil. And if you're not there experiencing the culture, it might be hard to imagine that you literally could go to the nation's capital in Brasilia and visit a center that has 200 classrooms in spirituality. I mean, can you imagine such a center in Washington, D.C. here?
It sounds amazing. I have to go. It's on my list of places to visit for sure, Greg. And well, Greg, I want to ask you more about John of God. So my understanding is that John of God is a psychic surgeon. Is that correct?
It is correct. And that word is a word that's that people use, and it's confusing to people, and there are also different types of psychic surgery. But to be specific with some of your listeners who maybe don't know about John of God, I'll explain it. What he typically does, he practices his healing three times a week on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. There's a morning session and an afternoon session. Many times, and not every time, during the beginning of one of the healing sessions, he will come out front, address the crowd, and then he'll say a prayer that he'll go into trance. When he does go into trance, his voice is markedly different. The energy around him is different. And anyone who's there experiencing it, even a disbeliever, would say, hey, something is dramatically different with him. Now, if the conditions are correct and they have volunteers, they'll bring one of the volunteers up front, and he will do some sort of a psychic surgery. But in his case, he uses actual medical instruments. As a matter of fact, my wife Tanya was a volunteer there for 1 year and used to hold the tray of the instruments. And my first trip there, I was literally 10 feet away standing in the front, and I watched one of these incredible surgeries where he made an incision about an inch and a half, 2 inches long, into the flesh of a person. They did not bleed. They did not seem to feel pain. I could see the flesh open, and he reached in with his fingers and pulled out what looked like to appear to be a small tumor. With the course, he then flipped on the floor, and another person came quickly and mopped it up. They work like clockwork there. It's amazing. And then he took what looked like normal suture and literally took 3 or 4 stitches and closed the wound, and then they took her away to the back where she relaxed in the recovery room. So that would be a typical psychic surgery with John of God, but he actually does use a scalpel.
Have you ever had a psychic surgery, Greg?
Yes, I have. I've had a psychic surgery. And it's interesting. I lined up and I volunteered there. And my psychic surgery with John of God was that he rushed at me and took his hand and put so much energy in my heart that when they laid me down on the table, my hands were still 6 inches off the table for the next 15 minutes because I was like stiff as a board from the energy. But I felt such peace. It was an amazing feeling of peace and energy at the same time. So my psychic surgery there did not involve a scalpel. However, I have been have seen a psychic surgery from the Philippines. And, of course, this has happened in the last 2 years. And that surgery was amazing because he gave me a series of surgeries where his hand pulled some tissue out from the back of my neck. I have an injured back. He worked on my back. And he pulled mucus and stuff out from inside my back. And now, you know, when he was working on me, I could not see what he was doing, but I did have the opportunity to observe him work on others. And it was amazing. He did not need to use a scalpel. And when he pressed on the flesh, it would appear to open. And I even saw him remove a small tumor from a woman's breast. I saw the flesh open. He pulled it out. And then it closed. And then it was left with a red mark that then she said went away the next day. And so this type of phenomena does happen in different parts of the world. And it's usually different depending on the culture and the tradition. And then what even confuses us more is not only does it happen, but then sometimes there are people that say they do it, and then they don't. And then you have a situation where people are committing fraud, and then someone discovers it, and that gives the whole thing a bad name. So it's a very, very complicated phenomenon.
Well, it just sounds incredible. Really does sound incredible. So you met your wife through your engagement with the John of God group. Is that correct?
It is correct, and we try not to talk about ourselves too much, but what a perfect time to share this story because it is Valentine's Day, and Tanya is indeed the love of my life. And the story is, if you had asked me 10 years ago if any of this could have been possible or explained to me this was going to happen, I would have told you were crazy. But imagine here I am in Brazil in 2003, not expecting to be there, and then all of a sudden I start experiencing phenomena, hearing voices, having energy around my hands. And so I spent the next 2 years reading, studying books, and I sat in a mediumship development circle with the Spiritist in Bethesda, Maryland. And lo and behold, I went back in 2005 in December, and I had been a handful of times, so I knew a lot of the people at the Casa in the small town. People knew me by name. And it was a great getaway for me in a time when I had a very difficult business to run and a lot on my mind, and I was single, I was a bit lonely. And so here I was in Brazil again, one more trip, and the first day there I noticed that there was a new person standing up front with John of God, and I thought, well, I wonder who this is. And I thought, she's kind of cute, and she has a really pretty voice. Well, she didn't speak but about 3 words of English, and those 3 words were, close your eyes. And you see, her job was, she was the director of the current room. She would say the opening prayer. She would make sure the energy was pure and good. And she would literally maintain the feeling of this vibration and tranquility in the current room so that he could do his work. And so one of the rules there is that they want you to sit there with your eyes closed so that you can more focus on helping to create and generate this current, this human vital energy. And then also that you won't be distracting anyone or even yourself. So when I laid my eyes on her, the first thing I wanted to do was stare at her. So I kept trying to look at Tanya, and then she kept coming, telling me in broken English, close your eyes. So that was our first experience together. And during the break, I went up to her and tried to talk to her, and she let me know right away she didn't speak English. And then I tried to speak the broken Spanish that I learned in high school and college, and she told me she didn't speak a word of Spanish. And so I was about ready to give up. And then the next day, I asked her if I could walk her home. And it's a cute little town. We're talking about a town with a dirt road down the main street and roosters running around on a horse in the field. And so there's a group of people walking her direction. And I understand now in Portuguese, she told me, well, I could walk if I want to. She couldn't stop me. And so I began to walk with her home, and I noticed the further we got, the more willing she was to try to communicate with me in Spanish. And by the way, I've since learned that Tanya did speak very good Spanish in that point, so she could understand everything I was saying. And we get near to where her house was, which was probably about a mile down the road, and all of a sudden it's one of these incredible South American Brazilian storms. You know, 1 minute the sun's out, pretty blue sky, and then within, you know, 2 minutes the clouds come and the sky is dark and you hear thunder, and then it is raining like cats and dogs. So she looks at me, and she just couldn't have the heart to send me away by myself in the rain, so she let me come in. Now, waiting in the house were two of her good friends, and that was our first real date, because we spent probably 4 or 5 hours talking with her two friends in the living room of her house, playing dominoes, trying to communicate in broken Spanish and Portuguese. And then the next weekend, we went out. We had a couple days together in her hometown of Caldas Novas. And then we've been together ever since. And then we arranged for her to get a tourist visa. And then we got married here in the United States. And that was in 2008.
Well, it's a wonderful story of two people being brought together by spirits, and they're interested in spirits. And so I'm interested to ask you how you discovered your mediumistic ability.
Well, as I mentioned, it happens through having these experiences. And, for me, I was honestly, I have to share with your listeners, I was definitely a born skeptic. You know, I remember when I first came to California in the early 1980s, and every other person here, would ask you, what's your sign? And I just thought, what does that mean? I mean, I did not have a clue. I was just a guy who was interested in business and material world things, and also a bit of the arts, as I'm into music. But I just did not have a passion for the spiritual arts. Now, I see the fact that I was sort of a born skeptic and not having a liberal attitude toward this being a big plus for me. Now, why is that? Because the experiences that happened to me, and the psychic surgery that I saw, and the phenomena that I've witnessed, and the list goes on since then, including full materializations, this, because of my initial skeptic attitude, this gave me the desire, the burning desire, to want to study and try to find out, to the best of my ability, the truth behind the phenomena and also how it works. And so it's led me to build some incredible friendships around the world, to some wonderful books. And so that's why I talk and give classes and tell other people, because, we have a saying with spiritual work, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean that it's not true. And I'm living proof of that. And remember, one of the prime philosophies behind both spiritualism here in the United States and spiritism in Brazil is that this phenomena, whether it be hearing voices or seeing spirits or having a materialization where a spirit apports an item into a room, or whether there's a healing, what this does, this brings all of us proof that when the body perishes, that our soul still survives. Because I think most of us can agree in universal law that if one spirit can live after their body perishes and be in the spirit world and have communication with us, well, we must be able to do that too. And so with me, the mediumship started with the experience of what I call unexplained phenomena that I could not explain and I knew was real. And then I had periods of this next year from 2003 to 2004 where I would have things happen and I would still ask for proof. And for example, the very first experience at the CASA was the first day there, as I was, to make a long story short, the first day there, John of God had the spirit of King Solomon with him, who hadn't been with him for 18 years. And King Solomon is the one who saw me standing out front watching the surgery and raised his hand and looked at me and said, "You," like a king, and sent me back to the back to work with John of God. And while I was sitting there, I began to hear a voice that explained to me how I could take, imagine with my third eye, how I could imagine that I was forming balls of brilliant white light on each of my hands. And, you know, I'm literally sitting there hitting the side of my head with my hand going, "What is this? Am I really hearing this?" And I really didn't believe. Sometimes you see something or experience something that's so fantastic that it's hard for you to believe and accept. So I was in this period of non-accepting. So I went through these series of experiences there at the CASA, and then the 2.5-3 weeks later, on the way home, I grabbed a handful of books from the bookstore there, and I was reading one on the plane on the way home, and it was from a woman who takes tour guides to Brazil, and she's also a practicing healer. And in one of her chapters of the book, she describes how she was sitting there in the current room at John of God, and the spirits taught her how to make these balls of light on her hand. And when I read those pages, I got what we call goosebumps. And I thought, wow, this really happened to me, because here I'm reading in the book, the same thing happened to this woman as well. And it had happened to her some, I think, 3, 4, 5 years before. And I didn't read her book until after it happened to me. So I think it's important for all of us to keep an open mind, but also be discerning. But then look for ways to prove the phenomena that you're experiencing. Because once you have that proof, what it does, it also builds faith. And then it makes the phenomena and the spiritual work you do even stronger. Now, in religion, we say it's a great thing to have blind faith. But I think it's a greater thing to have a faith that's based on experience and knowledge and education. And for those who are interested, there are incredible resources around the world. You can study and learn other teachers, where you can gain a lot of experience. And it's amazing when you ask and when you tell spirit that you're interested in this phenomena. I'm sure all of those on the panel here and your listeners can count a lot of stories where all of a sudden things start to happen to them. Someone gives them a book, or someone calls them, or they meet someone else new. And so there's no shortage of help when someone really sincerely, for the right reasons, wants to learn about mediumship. And now, what would be a right reason? The right reason would be the reason to do good, to help others.
Absolutely, Greg. We always say the same, that it's about contributing. And I want to ask you in a moment after our commercial break about some of the resources that you recommend for people that want to learn more about mediumship and channeling. So we'll take a short commercial break, Greg, and we'll continue the conversation.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Of the right information.
Well, Greg, welcome back. I want to ask you just briefly, Greg, about the resources you recommend for people that want to learn more about mediumship. And then I want to ask you about the different forms of the phenomena that you've experienced.
Okay, well, there's three genres of resources in the United States. And as I start to talk about this with your listeners, please have patience with me, because remember, we all have our own experiences, our own opinions, and we only know what we've learned. So surely when I talk about one resource, I'm going to be leaving out many others that I don't know about yet. And also when I do make statements about one thing, it doesn't mean that it's better than the other thing. And that's one thing I've learned. I've really learned in this study to be open. I mean, I went from a place of not understanding what's your sign in 1981 to having a great respect now for astrology. And so this is what we all need to do to come together. Now, with that said, one of the resources that's been here in the United States since, of course, the 1850s would be the spiritualist churches. And I believe there's 400 to 500 small spiritualist churches around the United States and different associations. And there are small churches that are generally set up with mediumship as a focus of the church. Now, with that said, obviously some would be better than other ones, and some mediums at some of these churches would be willing or better teachers than others. One thing I have learned in the United States that too many people that practice great mediumship are interested in giving readings and doing the work, but many times it doesn't seem like they're willing to share what it is they know. Now, that's not everybody. And sometimes people are just too busy and they're not teachers. They focus on doing the work. So, but one venue, of course, would be the spiritualist churches. With that said, there's a large handful of books that have been written since the 1850s that are associated with the spiritualist churches. Now, the other group would be the group that is strong in Brazil, the Spiritists. That would be Spiritism. And what the Spiritists bring to the study is that they have, in Brazil, they have literally thousands of books, but in the last 15 years, they've been working like little beavers to translate as many books as they can to English, and they make them available here at a very reasonable cost. In fact, some of their books you can download online for free. So the Spiritualists are very fair in that they don't really charge a lot of money for what they do. They're all nonprofit, and their major goal is to disseminate information about Spiritism, which is one of the best studies of the phenomenon of mediumship. So you have the Spiritists here, and you can search Spiritism or you can search Spiritualism on the internet, and you'll find a lot of resources. Now, the other third genre would be what I would call the more secular genres. You know, in California, we have the Berkeley Psychic Institute, or you have other various psychic sorts of institutes, you know, in the United States, including the one, I think, in Virginia that used to teach remote viewing and some of those things. So what they have in common is, to some degree or the other, they all teach or explain or give the attendee a chance to experience some form of either psychic phenomena and or mediumship. But now that we say psychic phenomena or mediumship, did you know, Steve, up until the past couple of years, I have not even been able to get a good explanation in what the difference is between a psychic or a medium. And sometimes people call themselves psychics and mediums. So I've generally coined my own interpretation and explanation. And, of course, I certainly would prompt your listeners, if they can add to this or have any ideas, I'd certainly like to hear from them. But psychic phenomena is something that we as individuals, our soul, our spirit, our energy field, it's certain skills that we have that can be developed. And those skills could be, for example, remote viewing, being able to, for our soul, being able to temporarily feel like it's leaving our body and going to another location and looking at things, or being able to sort of receive some type of messages from the future. This sort of thing would be a psychic phenomena. And then, of course, there's physical psychic phenomena, people that, you know, can claim that they can move things with the power of their mind. Now, what's interesting is that the meditations and the methods and the energy by which someone grows and increases their psychic phenomena, they're almost virtually the same and puts your chakras in your body in the same condition for being able to have contact with the spirits. And this would explain what a medium does. In fact, most people are not aware that the word medium was actually coined and created by Alan Kardec, the founder of Spiritism in Paris, France, in the 1850s. He actually came up with that word. And what it is, a medium is someone who's a go-between, the midpoint between the spirit world and our world. So it's someone who can communicate with a spirit. So I'm hesitant to say, but it's my opinion that many people that call themselves psychics are indeed psychic, but they also have contact with the spirits, and some know it and some don't. Some people actually know it, but they're reticent to tell. So if you are a medium and you can have contact with the spirits, there's a good chance, by definition of that fact, that you also have psychic abilities, because it's those psychic gifts that put you in the space to begin with that would allow contact with the spirits. Does that make sense, and do you agree, Steve?
Absolutely, I do. I think it's a great explanation, and I often use the same description of the medium being in between two states. So I often describe a medium as being a little bit like a radio receiving set, receiving exactly. signals and then transmitting them out to be understood by another party.
Something's happened in the United States, I think, within the last 10 years. As a matter of fact, someone recently gave me a book that John Edward wrote. He's the famous medium here in the United States. And he, after all his years in his career, said he finally decided to write a book on psychic phenomena and mediumship. And I thought it was quite good. And he said he'd been reluctant to write such a book because he did not want to open up the idea with people that they could go from reading his book 1 minute and out there to charging $200 for reading the next minute. And this begs another whole question about what it is to be psychic. What do you do with the gifts? I certainly don't criticize, or I'm certainly not against anyone charging, but the point is that under everything that you do, there needs to be this desire to be of service and to help others. And a lot of times, people start out, they want to push the cart before the horse. For example, I've had a friend who has been involved in spiritism here in the U.S., and they said, some of our attendees went to see a great spiritist speaker, and they were so amazed by it that after they'd been to 2 months of classes, they said, okay, I want to be a great speaker. Or someone came to the mediumship circle, and after their first time, they sensed a little something or they thought something, and then they said, okay, I want to go start reading cards and setting up my shingle and my website next week. What I found is that the really, truly great mediums and the people that are out there either healing or giving these incredible messages or helping others that become well-known, their notoriety and their celebrity status happens because of a life well-lived, because of the service that they've done, because of the mediumship they have, some of the books they've written. We have mediums in Brazil. There's one man still alive today in the 70s, Divaldo Franco, who's written over 200 books, and most all of them psychographed, which means automatic writing. And so it's natural for him to go around the world speaking and giving large lectures. He's spoken over 14,000 times in 52 countries. That makes sense because that comes out of the fact of his work, of his mediumship, and all the books he's written. So what I found in my own journey is that ask and you shall receive. For people there that sincerely want to develop these gifts, as soon as the sincere notion is in their heart, within days, they will have either a new book, or someone will tell them about a class, or they'll find a website, or they'll meet a network of people, and then they'll start this path of developing these gifts. And a lot of people ask me all the time, Greg, how can I do what you do? They come to our healing circle and they hear one of my spirits speaking in Portuguese, or we have an Englishman speaking with an English accent, and they want to do that. And what I tell them is, it is possible. There are some that will tell you that if you're not a child-born medium, forget it. Just like the movie The Sixth Sense, you have to have these experiences when you're a child, and if you don't have that, you can't do it. I don't agree with that. Now, while I will say that some of the most incredible mediums in the world did have these gifts when they were children. It is certainly possible, and there certainly are many, many other amazing mediums that develop them over time. And the best way to do this is in what we call the development circle. And that would be a group of, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 to 15 people that sit in a circle and help each other develop these gifts.
So can you tell us, Greg, about your personal experiences of trance?
Okay. One thing that I do that, now, there's different ways to get into trance. I've seen some incredible meetings. One named David Thompson from Australia, who's an Englishman who does amazing physical effects. Spirits actually appear in the room with him. He uses music. He'll usually have two or three songs that they'll play quite loudly, and the songs are both a trigger for his own mind, and they're also a reminder to the spirits around him that it's time to go to trance. And he'll reach different levels of trance through the cues of music. I also know a medium in Brazil, Maria Gertrudes, who's one of those amazing mediumistic painters. She can paint with the spirits of the Impressionism from France, namely Joseph Turner, who will paint paintings through her fingers, and she'll paint an entire oil canvas in 4 to 5 minutes. And it's an amazing phenomenon. If anyone has a chance to see her, I recommend it. But when she starts, she'll close her eyes, and they'll put music on for her, and usually within a minute to 2 minutes, she's in trance and the spirit's with her. And what I do is very similar to what I learned in Brazil at La Casa with John of God. What I do is I have a couple of prayers, one even in Portuguese, that can put my mind to a place where I've experienced the phenomena, you know, many times over. And so it helps me get to a place in my mind where my mind is at rest without thought, but also at a high state of energy. Trance mediumship is not something you do while you're resting. Now, there's many different facets of it, and one of the reasons why I tell the Americans that what the Brazilians do is unique is because America, the traditions of the spiritualist mediums here, it comes from Western Europe. And I know, Steve, you being from Europe, you probably could relate to this. A lot of times they'll sit you around the table and they'll say, okay, place your hands flat down the table and don't leave your chair. And you'll sit around the group and the energy will come up and some people will start to practice and they'll have a little channeling happening. But the way I do it is what I learned because I learned in Brazil. I do it standing on my feet. And this is the Brazilian tradition that came from Umbanda because they would raise the energy not only through music, but the mediums would stand on their feet. In fact, the music sometimes was very primitive. It was drumming and samba music. But at the end of the day, you have to raise the energy, but at the same time, relax your mind, which seems like a dichotomy. On the one minute, you're supposed to raise energy, in the same minute, you're supposed to relax. But I found that it's this push of energy with taking my own thoughts out of the picture, which is the hardest part for me, by the way, that allows the space where the spirit can come through and I can receive and experience the phenomenon of trance mediumship. Does that make any sense?
It does, absolutely. I want to ask you, I did some trance mediumship in the UK when I was involved in the Spiritualist National Union, or the Spiritualist Church Network, as you mentioned before. And I always find trance really fascinating because even just doing telepathic mediumship, when somebody in spirit draws really close, I can feel the calling signs. And then in trance, exactly, I feel a lot of physical sensation, almost as though my face and hands change. They feel different. What's your experience?
Absolutely. It is very much like that. People tell me that my face actually can look different. I'm naturally a medium of physical effects. And the Brazilians, this was identified in a spiritual center called the Frei Luiz Center near Rio de Janeiro, where they do materializations. This is a person whose body has a lot of ectoplasm. And I've just recently learned from David Thompson that the ectoplasm in the human body, he believes through science, is produced in the pancreas. Now, the ectoplasm, for your listeners who don't know what it is, it's it's like a gaseous, semi-solid gas, quasi-liquid that almost looks like a white cloud. And the ectoplasm becomes more dense when the lights are low and when the temperature is cooler. And so in my case, on many times, the ectoplasm will come up through my body and it will come to my voice box, and you can actually hear it sometimes gurgling, almost sounds like phlegm, and that helps the spirits create a different type of voice box so that my voice will actually change the tone and character. And so, you know, again, there's many, many different types of trance mediumship. I know trance mediums that do it, that draw the spirit in, and they go into a relatively deep trance, but when they talk, it's their own voice, but it's still the thoughts of the spirit, and they're not getting in the way. And then there are other trance mediums, like, for example, my wife, Tanya, she's what we call an unconscious trance medium. When she goes into trance, and she'll stay in trance in our healing circles for over 2 hours. It's an amazing phenomenon. And, you know, she grew up doing this, so she's been doing this her whole life, but she will not have any memory, virtually no memory, of what went on during the trance when she comes back out of it. And she's walking around, she's talking, she's telling people things, she's giving advice to people, and, of course, you know, doing the healing work. In my case, I am more of a conscious trance medium in that I'll remember roughly 60 to 75% of what went on. Sometimes it'll feel like I'm far away and I can just barely hear it, and then sometimes I'm a little what we call too conscious, because you don't want to be too conscious if you're a person like me who wants to learn and to witness and to see, because then all of a sudden you wake up and then your ability to be with spirit, you know, will go away. So you have to learn how to step and stand out of the way. Do you understand?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you experienced the ectoplasm?
Yes, and boy, all of these questions beg three more stories. I have a picture of us sitting in a circle with the ectoplasm coming out of my mouth, but the lights weren't dim enough. And the one caveat I'll say about the work with ectoplasm, you want to make sure that you're in an environment that's safe, where the doors will remain closed, where you can keep the temperature cool, and where you can keep the lights low. Because if you're in a position where you had a materialization, which is where a spirit forms using the ectoplasm in the room, and a lot of ectoplasm leaves your body, at the end of the seance, the ectoplasm needs to return to the body. And there was a case, I think, in England, and I can never remember these names, where a famous medium was doing a seance, and they had a spirit materialized in the room, and the police came in and shined on the lights and broke it up and put her in jail. And the ectoplasm, with the strong spotlights, was burned, and it couldn't return to her body, and she died 2 days later. And so you do not see a lot of material mediumship work happening, particularly in the United States. When I participated in the material mediumship work in Rio de Janeiro, they were very, very careful, and it's a beautiful phenomenon. So for you to have success, you have to find people who have this innate ability and form a small group and do it in a safe place with the lights low and make sure during the seance that you don't have to worry about someone turning the lights on. And so we've had a couple development circles start, but I'm sure those of you who have experienced with this, and Steve, you as well, many times you'll start a circle, some people will drop out or they'll lose interest, or then one medium gets jealous of the other one or something happens, and then lo and behold, you don't have a success. The development ship circles for physical mediumship, the ones that have success, go on for sometimes even a number of years with the same people who have a commitment to experiencing this type of work. Now, this would have been a lot easier to do in the 1800s when you didn't have internet, didn't have television. The lights were always off at night because you didn't have electric light. It's challenging to find a group of people that really want to sit and do physical mediumship now in this society.
It's true. I think that we're impatient. You know, we expect things so quickly. And as you said, in the 1800s, people sat for years to develop just the energy that would allow them to experience physical mediumship. Well, Greg, I'm so grateful for you coming on our show on Valentine's Day. It's been wonderful to have you with us. You're a great speaker, and you're obviously doing really beneficial work. I want to thank you for joining us this evening.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg. Stay in touch. Hopefully we're having your wife on the show as well in a couple of months, so we'll look forward to that.
That will be wonderful. Everyone, please be well and be with the peace of God.
Thank you very much, Greg. You too. And thank you for all the good work you do. Well, what a fascinating guy. I want to thank Greg for joining us. I've got lots of respect for his work. He's very knowledgeable, and I really enjoyed his explanations and definitions of mediumship and trance. If you'd like more information about Greg and Thania's work, please visit their Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Brazilian Spiritual Healing. I'd like to make a few announcements before we move on to the next part of the show. But before we do that, do stay tuned. You know that in the second half of our show, we give our free on-air reading. So bear with us, and I'll give you the number for the readings in a moment. Have your pen and paper ready. And if you were unable to catch our show last week with Jessica Murray, you'll find the recorded archive link as well as archives to all previous shows at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just click on the archives tab. And please feel free to circulate those archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many people as possible, so please do help us by sharing those links. And if you haven't visited psychicbloggers.com, please do check it out. There's a lot of information from the paranormal, reincarnation, how-tos on psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our psychics are verified, accuracy tested, and they each offer their unique gifts. You can read their profiles and find out more about them and select the person that you feel can help you with your inquiry. I want to thank Doug, who does a lot of good work behind the scenes, keeping us running smoothly and making sure that Psychic Access operates with very, very high standards. And all of the co-hosts here on Psychic Access Talk Radio are available at psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like a reading from one of us, please do join us there at psychicaccess.com. We'd be very pleased to hear from you. If you have your own internet site, you can earn 50 cents a minute for every reading referred to Psychic Access through your website. And if you'd like more information about that offer, please go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please do spread the word. We really appreciate it. Now, for a little later on, when we take our readings from callers, here is the telephone number to dial. It's 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. That's for just a little later in the show once we've had our discussion here. Well, Maureen, what did you think about that fascinating discussion all about trance?
Well, I really enjoyed that because I have, you know, I don't call myself medium and pork me with a fork and I'm done, because I don't proclaim to be a medium. I can get things, but as far as different type of mediumship with trance and channeling and everything, I know that, and I don't say this or proclaim to be this, but there's been some incredible times where through the past 25 years I've been doing this professionally, that I go into a trance. It's like a mental trance when I'm reading. And you know, you're going to get a good reading, but it's very difficult for me to handle. Now, I'm a little, and he was talking about some PK stuff, wasn't he? As what I could hear. Psychokinetic. He brought something up there.
He did mention that, Maureen. Yes. Particularly, he was talking about psychic surgery, which I find very interesting.
Oh, that was, and I like, you know what? He was a very humbling, authentic guest. And I've seen some of those psychic. Like he said it too. They just, you know, they blow me away. They're just so full of themselves. But I really felt that he you know, this is my view from where I was sitting. I felt he really had something good. It was an eye opener about what he was talking about. And I am always open, even though I'm a very skeptical person, which a lot of people that do this work, I feel are. Well, that's my take on it again. I don't know about Rez and you, but I'm skeptical about a lot of people that do this work. But it's a good, intuitive. I think that I'm very open-minded though to anything, because all I know is what I know. You know, it's not like I don't need to believe in anything or not. But, and like he even said that too, it's like, you know, it doesn't mean, if you don't believe, it doesn't mean it isn't so. But there's been a lot of people that mess things up. But I do like the trancing. And also he brought up about the 1800s with it had to do with PK, psychokinetic. And, you know, that was my main thing that I even am here today doing this work. That was what happened or was happening to me as a child. Unbeknownst to me, I can control it. But the trance, I don't know what your definition of trance, Steve, would be. My trance readings are like, I go into a trance. Now, I have had epilepsy before. Well, I've been diagnosed when I was younger up until my adult. And but it's not like that. I will get completely drained. And it's when I'm seeing a person personally. And I used to tarot cards, and suddenly I'm in a whole nother place. I don't know where it is, but I feel awkward because I'm almost like passing out. Like I'm going, you know, it's like I'm in a whole nother area and I start experiencing. It's a very unusual, but it's one of the best kind of readings. People think I'm passing out on them. I'm not caring about the readings. But that's when I usually go into a different place where I'm like with some man I saw his children drowning, for instance, and I was down in water. Now here I'm a tarot reader giving a reading across from someone. The next thing you know, I'm not even there. And that's what my trance, what I've experienced it. I don't know if that's the correct word for it. But what do you think? I'm crazy?
No, not at all. I mean, for me, trance is when we allow spirits to draw so close that they, in some way, take control.
Yeah, and take you to a place. And I didn't. And it's interesting because it's not like I focus on that happening. It's interesting. I never gave it much, but it's exhausting for me.
Oh, it is. Oh, mediumship is.
It's a form of
mediumship, and it is exhausting.
Yeah, it is. And it's a mental, but it's also physical. Mentally, it was drained, but I was physically at a place. So it's different than if someone shaking their body. You know, you get the shaking their body. It wasn't so much that, but I was physically in a different place. You know, and if another realm, not my physical realm, but it was fascinating.
I've had experiences with trance in which I can feel myself standing to the left of my body.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's as though I step out of the body and spirit are using the body to communicate.
Exactly.
And I can feel myself standing there. And the point that Greg was making about ensuring that there isn't some disturbance when somebody's in trance is because the shock can destroy the medium's nervous system.
Yeah. Well, that's also very true, and I know that I have been affected to PK. I had a lot of physical. My body was deteriorating back then, for that matter. But you know, and then I just went crazy, and then crazy good, huh, Rez? You're crazy good too.
Absolutely.
Let's hear from her crazy goodness, huh?
Yeah. Rez. Have you had any experiences of trance?
I have, and I didn't really know what it was. I never really called it anything, but I suppose it is. It's really similar to what you guys were just talking about, especially Maureen, is when you're in a reading and you're looking at the cards. And I always say to clients, well, it's like I have somebody standing behind my right shoulder telling me what to say. But what happens is that I'll start looking at the cards and then all of a sudden I'm off somewhere else, and I'm just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and after a couple of minutes, it'll be like a snap. I stop, and then I feel dizzy, and then I feel like I just came back from somewhere else, and that I haven't ever been able to make that happen at will. It just happens, and so I guess that's what it is, and that's why I was so fascinated when he mentioned that mediumship, when he described mediumship as a subset of psychic ability, because I never thought about it like that before.
interesting. It's very similar. I mean, you have that because it's not like we meant it. We don't, you know, it's like my PK. I wasn't able to learn to control. I learned later a little bit, but same thing, Rez. Like, but Steve, I know it may be different with you because you're what you do in a, you're a you know, like medium, but it just comes. But like I said, people, when it happens, the best readings you're going to get out of me will be the ones where it doesn't even look like I'm there. You know, and it, I maybe I should try to tap into something like that. Steve, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that whenever we read, Maureen, we're tapping in on some level. There are just different
different
degrees of chance. So when I give a reading with a client face-to-face, if they come back a second time, they are often surprised that I don't remember anything. I remember them as a person, but I don't remember any of the reading. And they say, how do you not remember anything? We spent an hour together. And I say, well, I think that, you know, I go into a mild trance.
Yeah.
So I can hear myself at the time, but when it's finished, it's finished. I don't remember. And it's not for me anyway. I'm the channel.
And it's, you're more object. You know what? I tell people all the time, don't get upset with me if I don't. You be happy because that means I can be objective. Mm-hmm. And it, and that's exactly right. It comes in and it comes out. And I'm like, and this is when I was even younger. It would just leave. It has to for us, you guys, because we can't keep it in. Because how could we be that with our human persons? We wouldn't be that objective.
No,
I feel
that's right. And it's all about that. You have to become that third person observer.
Yeah. You know, because we could, you know, look at our notes or remember on our head. Oh, I said that last time. I better say it again. It doesn't work. And I do. I lose it all, too. And it's funny because I just try to explain. It's a good thing, everybody. Don't think
we're not cheating.
That's right. It means that we're not cheating. Yeah.
I want to go to Brazil now.
I do as well.
I do, too. I do, too. And I want to wear, never mind. Well, for Valentine's Day, all the girls could wear thong underwear. I'm sorry.
Let's go on a field trip. Team building.
There you go. Not till I hit the tanning booth. Sorry. Oh, my God.
No, they just go naked there. They go naked there. For, and Valentine's Day, they have hearts covering the private. Never mind. It's Valentine's. I'm saying. Happy Valentine's
Day. Goes to the gutter yet again.
Yeah. I don't like Valentine's Day. I've admitted it. Okay. But I'm really happy. Everybody in the chat room's here.
It's one of those days, isn't it? Like Christmas and New Year, when it's wonderful for many people, but it's a sad time for other people.
Yeah, it can be, and it really can be taken to a really, really bad, dark place. And remember, it's Hallmark generated, people.
That's right.
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm without person by choice. Or maybe not, but I mean, Steve, you are too at this time. Rez, you can understand all this, but sometimes people take it to the point where one particular day could ruin their whole life, and I can understand where that's coming from, but don't let it. It's Hallmark. It's Hallmark.
It's hard to remember that.
I know.
We get so much sensory input all the time.
All over. I know.
Telling us what to feel, what to do, and what's wrong with you if all this isn't happening for you. It's all baloney.
Well, I think that I taught a class actually last Saturday. It's a new class that I put together called When and How to Find the Right Love. And at the beginning, I asked the group, why do you think it's called When and How to Find the Right Love? And so we have this discussion about the fact that actually many people in relationships are unhappy. And it's a question of not just finding a relationship so that we feel it's somehow completed. It's about finding a relationship that is right, that adds value. And I always say, I'd rather be single than in a relationship that doesn't add value to my life. And I think that I often feel concerned when I speak to a client that desperately wants to find a relationship because it indicates they're not happy with themselves, or that they resonate low self-esteem, or that they think somebody can come and fix something that they need to fix for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, it's called taking Mr. Wrong and making Mr. Right, or vice versa, and knowing what you don't want. That's how I always, even though I don't like relationships anyway. But, yeah. But we all want to be, everybody, there's a lot of people in the chat room tonight, and you all are very well, we all really have, our hearts are with you. That's Valentine's, see? Well, there.
We're bleeding and everything.
Yeah. Did you get me anything, Steve? Is it in the mail? You know, it starts out when they're younger. You remember at school, elementary, I don't know, you know, the Myers, and if you didn't get a flower, you know, carnation like everybody else. Yes. Did you guys, you know, it was like kind of, that was kind of lousy.
That was so mean.
It was very mean.
Right, Steve, you watch, you know, on Valentine's going to other desks, or you see.
I know. It's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm reflecting back. See, don't let it happen, you guys, everybody. Steve, did you ever have that going where you were in England? You guys, where you would feel left out because you didn't get. I don't know.
Well, I used to get loads, Maureen.
Okay, you know what? I got loads too, and I gave to the nuns. I gave to all the nuns instead. Okay, but
oh, he went around and stole everybody else's.
I bet he did. A little sneaky thing that. After all, he's a medium, and he just.
Well, I think when we love ourselves, it doesn't matter if somebody gives you a card or doesn't give you a card, because you know you're okay. You love yourself, and I think that's when we manifest good relationships with other people.
Right, but it starts when they're younger, though, with this Valentine's business at schools. Like I'm saying, I remember they would sell them, and people would look around who got, and some people. Girls.
They would sell them in school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Probably not. Yes, remember, this must have been after Catholic school. It wasn't done in Catholic. Rez, do you remember the time periods that this happened? You're the same age as I am.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh,
I was in elementary school in the mid to late 60s.
Uh-huh.
The school was selling flowers.
Yes, these are kids. These are children. And then your secret market buy a carnation. They're just carnations. And then you bring it home and down. And so you'd look around, and if you didn't get one, you know, that's where it starts. And it really made you feel, inadequate. It made you feel insecure. You know, it started there.
Hey, they made us do that at Horace Mann Elementary School.
Very young age. And you know what? It's really – so, like, I don't know what they're doing now. I know for my daughter, everybody got everything. She brought every single person exactly the same thing to school, you know, the way I looked at it. But it was not right that they did that. They probably don't anymore. God, as Doug claimed, they're not even letting anybody talk about anything in school now, for they take them to jail. But, I mean, yeah, carnations. They used to sell carnations, Julie, in the chat room. And, yeah, so, you know, I mean, really, Steve, so you get to an adult life, you're teaching this class of probably people that were injured by that. You know,
well, I can't believe that a school would do that.
And at such a young age. I mean, I'm talking about, this is elementary. I'm talking about fifth and sixth grade. I remember it happening.
Well, this is public school, remember. In private school, they never made us do that.
Yeah, they didn't do it in Catholic school when I was in Catholic school, but I left. So that's why I'm remembering it was public school. But
well,
still.
Talking about Catholicism, what do we think about the fact that the Pope has resigned?
Well, I have some.
Yay.
What? Sorry. You know what? I find it interesting because I think, for years they've been talking about the prophecy. I don't know who they are, but, you know, there's a group of theys up somewhere lined up.
The next one is named Pope Peter.
There's a false Messiah. They say it's a false Messiah, didn't they? Isn't that what they've been talking about? This is a timing where, because he's been unhealthy, the Pope, for a while, and they wanted to keep him up and about for years. They were talking, I don't know.
Well, I thought that the Pope generally just stayed in that role until they passed the spirits.
I know, but this is a time in our world, throughout times, people have been talking that this Pope is the last good, the good, you know, like good and not evil Pope.
I don't know who you ask, but yeah.
You know, isn't that what's been talked? I mean, I've been following something, you know, I think.
The last before the.
Exactly.
Supposed to be the black.
Really, Pope, exactly. Yeah. And things aren't what they appear to be, with is what he'll be like. Steve, don't go near being a Pope. I'm joking.
Well, my phone hasn't rung at all. And I'm quite offended.
I know how you work. You're just charming. You'll get right in or don't.
Especially after we go to Brazil.
Well, yeah. I'm tempted, Maureen. I do like Italian clothes and a good espresso.
There you go. Taste. I like it.
Yeah. Mm. No, that is Pope thing is what all I can say is. But we'll see. I just, you know, if... there's some guy that has 666 on his forehead. You know, basically, I'm just going to take my tattoo, redo her, and make it into a 999.
Well, it is strange to have the Pope resign, though. It's very, very odd. The last time it happened was 600 years ago.
Well,
it's all just heard of.
It is, and that's why I said years ago. Well, Lotus said she heard about the same thing I'm talking about. But, you know, years ago, like I said, for 3 or 4 years, because we were getting closer to the 13, 200. 2013, they said that this poem, like I have been hearing about that, and you know, like I said, I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. But he's a good guy, and he was sick. He should have resigned a long time ago. Actually, they were trying to pump him up, making him appear to be okay. But was hanging in there, and for a good reason. He was afraid. That's what, you know, he didn't want to. We'll see if Steve gets in there, takes over or not, and we'll be fine if he does.
Well, if I do, we'll still have the radio show.
Yeah, okay.
From the Vatican.
Yeah. We'll still have the evil good guy on. Yeah,
I would like the job just so that I could go through the libraries, you know, all the hidden libraries.
Yeah.
All the books that must have been taken out of circulation. Can you imagine all the books on metaphysics, the spiritual?
I want to look at all that heretical stuff.
That'd be like a candy store for me to be able to do that. You know, like, that would be cool. So, okay, Steve, go ahead. Get in there. You can buy us out. Okay.
I vote Steve.
Yeah, okay. Steve's
down. Your middle name isn't Peter, is it?
It's not Salt. Sorry.
See, the Malachi say the next evil pope will be, you know, Peter.
I read somewhere that there was a somebody a long, long time ago prophesied the names of all of the popes. Maybe not the names, but there was something very specific about each pope that was prophesied. Do you remember who that was?
I think it was Malachi.
Was it Malachi?
Yeah, I believe so.
We have calls already, don't we?
We have. Mm-hmm. We've got calls already. Okay. All right, the first call is for you, and this one is from California.
Who's you?
Cool. Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Jess.
Jess?
Yes, Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. Oh, hey, Jeff. Yes. Sorry, it's a little muffled. Sorry about that. What's your question for me, Jeff?
I'm just hanging in there today, having a good day health-wise. It was good hearing Greg and on the phone. I'm part of his hearing group. And
oh, wow.
I attend it on a regular basis. So I was signed on to your chat room as Rev Jeff, and I've been looking forward to having a reading, quite honestly. I read tarot cards for myself, but it's not always the same when you do it for yourself.
Right.
And I am an ordained minister, but I'm a minister of metaphysics. And my spiritual lines go way back to Aristotle and certainly many lifetimes. I've had a lot of physical issues, and my question is about pursuing the ministry that I would like to pursue, and also if mediumship is a good thing for me to pursue further. And I've attempted to get to a couple of classes. Seminars for mediumship, and life conspired on me and pulled me away either for my health issues or my wife's. Between my wife and I, we can support a pharmacy and, a medical practice or a couple of them. And I've had some challenges this incarnation. And I think I'm kind of on a fast spiritual track. Possibly for the next incarnation. I'm hoping that I get a little bit of rest next time around, which in the book, The Gospel According to Spiritism, talks about that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I've gone on and on and on, and would probably need to be quiet and listen to what you have to tell me.
Well, I was hanging on every word. We're honored to have you, Reverend Jeff. Thank you so much for being here. What I'm seeing is, I was looking at the cards as you were speaking, and I'm seeing that your life has indeed been a struggle, and that you are now at the point where you are on a mountaintop, so to speak. And being at that point, on that mountaintop, it is time for you to decide where to go next and how to move forward. And what I see is that if you take that leap of faith toward mediumship, toward being more open to the spirits and to your creator. Being involved in that will heal you, Jeff. And you need to just go ahead and be who you are called to be. There are really no limitations. And it's not unusual for someone with your calling to have physical limitations and challenges and all of that. But you will find your peace and your healing in being what you are called to be. And that needs to be your main focus. Does that make sense to you?
It does. I sought out a place where I could be in a spiritual ministry after I was after I died for the third time in this incarnation. I died at 16 and at 38 and then again at 51. And so I was raised Catholic, and I certainly couldn't be Roman Catholic priest, but I did seek out the Eastern Rite Catholic Church and ask them if I could study with them. And they said, well, no, you know, because priests in the Eastern Rite can be married, but I was too old to pursue a ministry through them. So then I sought out a ministry through a group that had to do with metaphysics. Feeling that God reveals himself to everyone in a manner that they can understand him, and
yes,
that I wanted to be an ordained minister, and I did study and do the work and earned a master's degree in divinity.
Right. So well, Spirit is saying very much to you, Reverend Jeff, it's really simple. Spirit is saying, what are you waiting for? And that's not a question.
Yeah.
You know, you when you take the action and you begin to do to be who you are called to be and start to do that, then the resources that you need and the people that you're supposed to minister to will come. So it sounds simplistic, I know, but now it's time. You're at the mountaintop, and it's time now to begin, take your staff in hand and take a step and continue. And I want you to very much keep in touch with us and let us know how things are going and how we can assist you. Always keep in contact. I would like for you to consider us and Psychic Access a resource for you. Will you do that?
I will. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. It's my honor and pleasure to do so. A pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'll hang up so others can get have readings to it. I just want to say that I love you all. And absolutely, I know that it's so important for all of us to express that we love each other.
Yes.
Because there's so often it's gone on that some people in my life have moved on before I had the opportunity to really tell them.
Yeah.
I did. And
now's what matters, right? I couldn't agree more.
God bless you.
Blessings to you, and thank you so much, Jeff.
Many blessings.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rez. That was a beautiful reading. And what a wonderful
yeah.
man. That was really nice. Moving because
yeah.
to so hear that,
yeah.
I love you.
Think, yeah, very nice. He's in the chat room. Thank you. He's very lovely. That's nice.
Wonderful. Great example. And, you know, this is what Valentine's Day is really about,
mm-hmm.
loving each other.
I've got
Whereas,
chill.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, that's a good. That was the first call and reading. That was really appropriate, wasn't it? How things are just supposed to be like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, my big mouth making fun of it earlier.
No, I know. We all. But, no, that was lovely. And that does show. It doesn't have to be coupling. And it's everybody. It's about love in our heart for ever, the world. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, me. Me, Steve, is it me? Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure if...
California.
Oh, no, we do. We have a call
California.
Already, actually, from...
New York.
From New York, Maureen. Yes, so this one's for you.
For
Thank
me.
You.
Thank you. Hi, New York. Hello.
Hi.
And who am I speaking
How
to?
How are you?
Hi.
So I have a question. I'm a student teacher, and Yesterday, kids were taking a practice state exam, and I actually was asked to also answer some questions, and I got one of them wrong, and the teacher was a little concerned. And also what happened today was that some of the kids were asking me questions about, like, cause and effect, and I just stood there like I froze. I had no idea what to say because I just couldn't figure it out myself. And I'm wondering why this is happening.
Okay, and may I have your name, please, so I can... your name?
Oh, Anne.
Anne. Okay, thanks, Anne. This is Maureen. Okay, I want to first ask you, are you talking... You said state exams. Are these for middle school children?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and you know, you're too hard on yourself, Anne. You're too hard on yourself, and I feel it's coming... I'm seeing it's coming from someone that's been it's been difficult for you, because I feel that you have a lot... You appear to me like someone who is like a student, and you are in some way, you are, because you're in class, but you're also getting a lot of... You're like SpongeBob. I see you're getting a lot of knowledge. It's coming to you easily. You just don't get it because I don't feel that you have support. So if you're working... You're in a classroom with, you're not the teacher completely, right? You're someone that's helping. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm a student teacher,
right.
And there's another student teacher from my class, and there's a cooperating teacher who's the actual teacher.
Well, there's a troublemaker that I'm seeing that is getting to you. Perhaps, I could be wrong, but this is what I'm getting. Someone is a troublemaker, manipulative, and they'll pretend to be your friend, but the next thing you know, they're just gossip. They're trouble. They're a troublemaker. And I see that you get to, you feel like you're exhausted, and there's depression going on, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and I feel that you really need to grab hold of yourself, because listen, you really got it going on. You're fantastic what you do. You're knowledgeable. I just feel that you're not feeling the energy of support that should be due to you around where you are. And so you feel uncomfortable about somebody. You know what? Are you trying to also get in a higher degree to go further? I mean, right now at the same time, are you studying something? Is there a certificate? Certification?
No, I'm supposed to be getting my master's to teach English as a second language. But to be honest, I really don't even want to do it anymore. I'm only doing it because my parents are pushing me into it now.
I see. So you just okay? Then this is the thing, I can see that you're physically drained. But I don't. You do well what you're doing, but if you're not, this is not something that is your path, and you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. It's going to be getting to you more and more, and you can't go on. You know what? You need to not search for a deeper meaning. I am seeing, coming ahead for you, there's going to be some changes. I see a lot of success within 9 months. But right now, if you don't want to be there, and you're doing this, like you said, for somebody else, your family, you're not going to feel very good about anything. Even though, no matter how good I see you being, I just feel that it won't matter. Don't you think it might be a good idea, I'm encouraging you, to maybe think about taking the next step that in order to move into a different direction. You're very smart. You have a lot going for you. But your question is what you're asking me. I feel that whatever I tell you, it won't matter because you aren't in a place where you want to be. Isn't that so? I think you're fine, but it won't work for you. I do see that, like, within the next 9 months, you're going very well in the right direction, but you have a few steps to take in order to get to there. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Who do you see as being the troublemaker?
I just see a person that looks like they're dark-haired. If somebody's been around for a while, it could be, like I said, you said you have other people that are not teachers that work with you, you know, same level as you. Somebody that just is a gossipy mouth. You know, somebody that just would pull you down, and you're in a place where it would be real easy for you because you're vulnerable. Somebody that would say that, or gossip and say, well, you know, they think that you're not this way. You know, that kind of stuff to make you question yourself.
Okay, so is it somebody who's actually in class with me, or somebody who is not connected to class.
I feel like somebody that has, I see this being already in the recent past, and yes, somebody that has surrounded you, given, you know, the power of suggestion. When someone says to you, you know, you're not really that good, whatever, or you're not really, or you know, that I heard that this, someone to be talking like that. And they do it for their manipulative reasons, and for whatever reasons, it would get to you. Because this is a thing. I see you as being very intelligent, very strong, but there's some reason why if somebody is not, anybody around you is not supportive, you're going to not feel any support. You're not going to feel anything that I see is real about you at all.
Okay, so what you're basically telling me is, like, I'm not getting the support that I need in what I'm doing right now.
Exactly, and that's reasonable that you should be getting support what you're doing right now. You should be getting acknowledged for the good. You have a lot going. You're not, like you said, you feel uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong you're doing. There's something making you feel that maybe you question yourself. And like I said, you're exhausted physically, but you're also depressed. I see a bit of depression. You just kind of want to, and you don't, you're not happy. And, you know, when you said something about your parents, and also I just don't feel someone is very much on your side. You know, when you're not on each other's side working together, it's not nice. It's not good. You're not like that yourself, no. People should work with you all together nicely. So don't underestimate yourself. You're a fine woman, and you have a lot going for you, very much so. But I think it's time to really do what you really want to do as well. Maybe this might be a blessing, the intensity of it, to move forward. You're going to do great things, but I wouldn't question yourself about what you're doing. You haven't done anything wrong. You're good at what you do, and you're a good guy. You guide and direct these students. There's nothing better than that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. I hope I helped you. Bye-bye, Anne.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Maureen. Great advice.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Okay, well, not sure if we have a caller just yet, or if we have any calls in the, any questions in the chat room.
Hello?
Oh, we have. Hello, are you calling from Texas?
Yes, I am.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm going to go by Nutty Buddy. My name is Siobhan, but I'm Nutty Buddy.
Hi, Siobhan.
I'm not on the chat right
How
now.
Can I help?
Okay, I have been feeling really depressed on Valentine's Day. To make a long story short, I recently had a psychic reading in January on here from Psychic Access from another psychic that specialized in, like, relationships. In a psychic reading, she told me that a guy much older than me that I had been seeing on and off for the past 3 years, I met him online. We've never physically met. And I just recently got a picture of what he looks like. he would be splitting from his spouse very soon, and that they would be getting separated. And she said long term that this person would be somebody that I would end up being in a happy relationship with. Okay, now that's one part of it. Now, in addition to this, it all kind of combines together. My mother, she just recently found out 2 years ago. And it kind of took me as far. It was kind of strange to me, but she would have these dreams. They only happen at night, but she would have these dreams about me. Only about me, not about anybody else, just about me. It would be about my career. It would be about my relationships. She saw me getting married, but she can never see, like, a timeline or anything. She can only see, like, certain features. Like, she'll see, like, the person is, like, tall. She saw the person was tall. He was African-American. He was light-skinned. She saw that he was older. This was, like, 2 years ago, before I, like, you know, even met this person. But, and, you know, thinking back on it, I would ask my mother, and, you know, she compared the photo of the guy I've been talking to with the guy she saw. And from what she saw, she said that the height, they were similar in the height. And, of course, he's much older than me because I am 24, and I'm thinking he's, like, maybe in his early 40s. But it kind of took me aback because I just kind of thought, like, okay, well, that's weird. And then, you know, I'm feeling depressed because recently, like, I've been having issues, like, with him. You know, it's a lot because he's a DJ. He owns a radio station. He's a radio station owner. And I'm a singer, so I'm usually attracted to people that are in the music industry. But the problem that I have, like, he always has a lot of females around him, which I understand, you know, because it's the music industry or whatever. I know what the music industry, how things go, and, you know, I don't know if I'm blowing it out of proportion or not, but I saw a photo on his Facebook, and the photo was with a Hispanic girl. I didn't know who it was, but, you know, he had never sent me a photo, and he's always like, oh, I'm ugly and all this stuff, but I just came across the photo. I haven't said anything to him because I haven't talked to him in a while. He
okay.
won't answer my calls. He just texts. But
okay, well,
short,
let me tell you
know.
What I sense. And I'll tell you what I sense, but I'll also tell you what I feel logically, okay? The first thing is, my guides just remind you that you're young. You've got your whole life ahead of you. You've got a lot to offer. And there is no rush. There is no rush for you to jump into a relationship. Now, I want to say to you that when I was just playing with tarot cards before you started to speak, and I wasn't intending to lay out a spread of tarot cards. I was just playing with them, and a card fell out. And it's the card of partnership, of marriage. There is no doubt from that sign and from what my guides show me that you will have a great relationship and that you will marry. Do I feel that it is this gentleman you've spoken of? No, I don't feel it's him. I feel that the guy you will be with is older than you, but no more than about 6 or 7 years older than you. And you really should be focusing on yourself. You know, if you put the energy that you've invested in this online relationship into yourself, your self-esteem, your self-awareness, your career, life would be flowing far more easily for you. And that's what my guides are advising you to do. I will tell you this. I feel that you will either meet or marry in the month of May. I'm not saying to you it's this year. I'm more drawn to next year, to be honest with you. But there's no doubt that you'll be in a great relationship. You need to reflect upon your self-esteem and why it is that you've invested so much energy and upset in yourself in a guy online who never even sent you his photograph. And I feel as though this is an important lesson for you, really, because my guides are saying that you need to set much higher expectations of your vision of the relationship and also of other people that you interact with. Do you see what I mean?
Well, I'm kind of... I see what you're saying. I'm kind of confused. It's like I had another reading. I'm not doubting any psychic readings from anyone, but I did have another reading from another lady on your psychic access.
Yes.
She specializes in relationships. She actually believes that it is this gentleman, but she said that the issues are that, you know, due to the fact that the person is coming out of a relationship, that it could take a while. So she actually uses tarot, and she has clairvoyance as well, and she actually felt that it was this gentleman. Now, I would like to say that I'm not a person that's been in a lot of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, as I would say, I'm not very, I'm not desperate to get into a relationship because I haven't been in a lot of relationships. You know, I've been single for a long time.
But you're a baby. You're great. You're fantastic. And you're 24 years old. Your whole life is ahead of you. There is no rush. There is no need for you to stress about this. And why would you consider a relationship with some man you've never met that didn't even send you a photograph? It's a sign that you doubt your potential to get into a wonderful relationship. And I'm telling you for sure that you will. And I'm not discrediting the other person that you sought advice from. I can only tell you what I feel, and my feeling is strong, and it's backed up by the cards. You will have a wonderful relationship, and it occurs when you let go of the anxiety about relationships and the need to find one. That is when things happen. I probably speak to 300 people a week about relationships, and then all the other people that I speak to about other things, trust me, when you let go of this need to find a relationship and you just enjoy yourself and work on yourself and your career, everything will fall into place. You'll marry in the month of May. You'll either marry or get engaged in the month of May, not of this year. But I don't feel that he's the one for you. I'm not saying cut off contact, but you've got to sit and reflect. You know, if I was your best friend and I said to you, I've been talking with somebody online for 3 years, I haven't met them and they haven't sent me a photograph, you would encourage me to get on with my life. And that's what my guides are encouraging you to do. And that's what I want you to reflect upon and ask your guides, because life's precious and 3 years is a significant chunk of time. You've got a lot to offer.
It is. I just felt like, I don't know what it is, I just felt like I had a strong connection with him. But there's also like a level of uncertainty. So I understand where you're saying not to cut off all contact. I know you're not discrediting me as a psychic, but I don't know. She was like 100% sure that it was this person. I don't know. So I'm just like, now I'm just kind of out of standstill.
Time will tell, but you need to reflect logically about how you want to use your time and what you want to invest your energy in. And 3 years is a significant period of time when you haven't seen this man's photograph, you haven't met him, and you're potentially missing out on other opportunities because your energy is so focused on this. So I'm not saying discredit him. If it works out, great. But my feeling is you need to get on with your life and embrace the fact that when you stop looking and you stop trying, things often happen. You've got a great singing voice and you write well also, and you need to put that energy into your talents and your career at the age of 24 and enjoy life and get out and meet people. So you let us know what happens, but that's what I feel, and I feel it strongly. But I wish you all the best, Siobhan.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Okay, next year, thanks for the timeline. Okay,
and you take care. Good luck to you.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Siobhan. Okay, Rez, well, now we have a caller from you, and this person is calling from California.
Fantastic. Hi, California. What's your first name, please? Hello.
California. Sexy, a little sexy, Rez. Maybe. No, you have...
Oh, somebody put the phone down, ran away, raided the fridge.
Well, let's
turn off the TV.
Let's try Illinois, Rez.
Alrighty. Hi, Illinois. Illinois.
Hello. Hi. I'm in Illinois. How
are
you? What's your first name? Good. I was listening to that young lady before, and the gentleman telling her about a relationship and how she needs to get into her. And a light bulb came on in my head at the time, because this is what I'm doing. I'm getting into more of myself and doing things for myself. But I don't know about it. As opposed to, I don't know, getting myself out there. I feel that I get myself out there, and I'm not really looking for a relationship, but I'm looking to get into a healthy relationship. You know what
okay.
I mean? Not just when it's going to be in and out, or... Okay, this is going to go for a while, and all of a sudden I'm up and then I'm down, and I'm up and then I'm down.
Really looking, but you wouldn't mind having someone permanent. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes, someone permanent, someone that's, you know, for my highest good.
A grown-up. How about that?
That's what
There
you
go. not a kid, you know, and not nobody playing any kid's game. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's just see what we have here in our magic cards. Okay. Alrighty. Okay, well, this is good. You know, you're right exactly where you need to be emotionally, mentally, physically, for all that. Because the cards say, basically, in a little nutshell, that you will have your wish if you just let it rest. If you just let it go, if you don't think about it. It basically, if you don't need it, because needing it puts you in a vibration of not having, right? With me so far?
Wrong person?
Yeah.
Wrong person, right.
Right, exactly. And so when you don't need anyone and you are perfectly fine with life just the way you are, it's always when spirit surprises us and brings someone to you and says, looky here what I got for you, when you least expected it, you know. So that's what I see happening for you. And time-wise, which I know would be the next logical question, I'm seeing, you know, we just kind of have a good time and chill out and relax and socialize and party a little bit and live life with joy and expect more joy. And that's exactly what you're going to have. And I would say that you will be hooked up by mid-March.
Oh, okay. By mid-March.
Yeah. And so then what you do is you come back to Psychic Access and tell me what happened.
Yes, I sure will. What's your name?
Rez Miranda. You can call me Rez. It's cool.
Call you who?
You can call me Rez.
Okay, Red.
I'm in the chat room. I'll type it to you.
I will call you back personally and tell you, because I feel I have let go. I feel I have come to know myself better. You know, come
yes.
to
yes.
get into myself better. You know,
and you're doing it right. Important. You're doing it all right.
And I've come
you're all
life.
Right. You are the goddess you are meant to be. Okay? So I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Okay, bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rez. Well, Maureen, can I ask you to try California again, please?
I would be happy to try California since I'm here. Hello, California. Hello, California. Hello. I know.
Hello.
Hi, there you are. Hi, who am I speaking to?
This is Jules.
Jules? Hi, Jules. Yes. Hi, Jules. How are you?
Hi. I'm great.
You're great, and I love that. You sound your good energy. And Jules, what would you like me to look into for you?
I would just like to know what my progress is in searching for higher vibrations in my past.
Okay.
And nothing real specific, just kind of where I am right now.
You're looking for an affirmation maybe of some sort, because you know, you're a wise woman, but I got it. I understand. Well, you know, this is what I'm getting. You know, earlier I was speaking to somebody, you might have heard that about people. Well, I was talking about people, but I want to say something about what you're thriving and what, you know, path you're on. We are colored by our environment, by who's around us, you know, and especially when we're on that path about what you're asking me about. I do feel that your personal power in the recent past has been kind of like you know kind of gave it away, not consciously, but kind of handed it over freely. I do see that there's a male energy around you that is very difficult. He's raging hard to be around, and it may be somebody that I think you know of, but I feel that you got to release from some people that don't fit in anymore, and it's not because you're better than them, it's because of your path. Do you follow me on what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, the only male around me would be my manager.
Okay.
And I don't have really any personal male friends right now.
Well, this person looks like they would fly into the picture. It's someone that you know of. It's presently around you. I'm just saying it's the energy of somebody that's really intense. And I feel that they fly in and they fly out as quick as they can. And it's almost like in a way, everything. It's not a long ordeal thing. But what I guess I'm saying, it's almost like in some ways where you're heading, it will keep you in check and balance. Because, you know, when you're on a journey like you are, of wanting to stay in the higher, being conscious in a higher vibration and really self-aware and observing yourself like that. I feel that it really is important to surround yourself with those that we're colored by in the most positive way. I see you're on a very good path, and I also see a very good connection with somebody that you know from the past. I see a lot of nurturing. I am also feeling, though, that where you're working, as in work goes, I'm not sure what kind of work you're doing, you're not getting enough acknowledgement where you should. You're not being acknowledged for the credit that you are putting into something. And I see you changing the course of your career or work, and it looks like something that's real creative and some really – really positive. So if your journey is towards something like, are you heading towards something more on the spiritual work for
death?
You know, okay. You're doing fine. And if you're easing out of whatever else you might be in, you're on what I'm getting is I'm affirming everything, you know, but I do feel the timing is now and it's fantastic. I just brought up this mail, this mail I talked about earlier. It's almost like if something like that comes around, it'll be normal. You're on your journey. You're thriving where you as you should be. But sometimes it'll be the people that come around. It's okay. Bless their hearts and walk away from it. But I do see you heading in a fantastic. Your direction is very well. It's suited for you, and it's very well thought out in a lot of ways. And the timing's now. It's very good. You're going to do you'll do fantastic, and you're going to be able to show off You're going to know your your accomplishments are finally being recognized within yourself as well. It's fantastic. Yeah. Very good, Jules. I mean, it's your reading. I didn't say anything you didn't know, but very good.
Validation. I so appreciate that.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, I know that's good. It's good with the work that you're doing. You're going to be a really fine person making a difference, definitely. Or you are, but the work will be very much. Okay?
You have a great evening.
Thank you, Jules. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great. Thank you, Maureen. Well, I'm going to take the last call, and this is from Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
This is Steve. How are you?
Good.
What is your name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Are you calling from a place called Bryan?
No, I'm calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay, well, the call came through saying it was a call from Bryan. Okay, well, Elizabeth, how can I help you?
Well, I'm on a trip to go to Knoxville in April. And I'm actually supposed to go there to see my boyfriend and my friend. But I'm actually hoping to maybe see one of my ex-boyfriends. And I talked to him some, and I'm just seeing maybe if he might know if I'm like running to him.
Okay, let me just try. I'm just trying to understand that. So you're saying you're going to see your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you want to know if you will see your ex-boyfriend during the trip?
Yes.
Okay. And did you say Knoxville?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Well, I thought so. I live in Knoxville, so I thought that's what you said. Let's see. So the question is, will you see your ex-boyfriend when you're in Knoxville? Let me ask. Honestly, I don't feel that you will. I've looked at the cards and I'd asked intuitively beforehand, and I felt that the answer is no. I felt like you should leave that alone. I don't feel that you will see your ex-boyfriend in Knoxville.
Do you know what might happen in Knoxville? Is it a good idea for me to even go?
Let me see. Yeah, I feel it's fine for you to go on the trip to Knoxville. I don't feel that there's any problem with you going to Knoxville, but I don't feel that you'll interact with your ex-boyfriend while you're here. I feel that the focus should be on the original intention for your trip, which is to spend time with your boyfriend. That's what I feel, and that's what the cards say.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Well, I hope you have a good trip. It's a fun place. I hope you're coming when the weather is good.
Yeah, I'm in Michigan right now, and it's awfully cold, so...
Oh, well, I'm sure that it'll be spring will be kicking in soon here, so you have a good trip, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Well, we do have another call, actually, from Pennsylvania, and this one's for you, Rez.
All right. Pennsylvania, hi.
Hi, this is Joe.
Joe, good. Awesome. How are you?
Fine.
Good. What's your question for me?
Well, I hope there isn't a conflict of interest, but I got a horoscope that says there's a big change happening today or tomorrow, or you know, soon, and I was wondering if you could see what it was.
As Maureen says, what up with that? Okay. Gotcha. Let's see, big change. Let's ask Spirit, what is changing in Joe's life? And see what we see.
Yeah, outwardly it looks routine around here.
Mm-hmm. That's often how the biggest changes happen when we least expect it. But don't be scared. I'm just teasing you. All right, we have the Sun card. And we have... All right. Well, this is interesting. We have the Sun card and we have the Four of Cups. This looks to me like it's about someone coming to you, communicating with you, contacting you that you haven't heard from for a very long time. And I feel like at the time you last communicated with this person, they were a young person, younger than you. They still are. But I feel like it's even a family member, someone that's very close to you, a family member, maybe even, I don't feel like it's your child, but I feel like it's someone that really you did a lot for, and they kind of owe you in a sense. So they're going to come back, they're going to contact you, they're going to communicate with you, and they're going to apologize to you. And they're going to say, I'm so sorry for having just disappeared out of your life. And I'm a little more grown up now. And I do care. And I want to show you that you care, that I care. And I'm sorry. And they're going to make amends.
Wow, that's weird.
Told you.
Spooked me.
Yeah. Guess we'll have to wait and see, huh?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. But these things happen, you know. God sometimes inspires people to do things like that. So we'll see, won't we?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll keep it in mind, and if it happens, I'll let you know.
Okay, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Talk to me at the last second.
Great. Well, thank you, Rez. Now, Maureen, we have a call from Michigan for you.
There you go. I do. Hello, Michigan. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And who am I speaking to?
My name's Sonia.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. What can I help you with?
I have been talking to someone for a few months. And in the beginning, he told me that he had really strong feelings for me, and then he got kind of distant, and I found out that I don't know if she was his girlfriend, but basically he was talking to another girl.
Right.
And then I told him that I knew about it, and he said she was just a friend and that he still has feelings for me. And I guess I just wanted to know, do I need to wait around for him, or should I just move on?
Got it. I understand where you're coming from, absolutely. And this is a few months along with this person you're talking about. It's a new relationship, or a new,
right.
It's a new, okay, connection. Connection, you know it. Okay, this is what I'm getting. You know, I do. I what I'm getting around you in this, I'm getting some really positive things about this. I feel that you're going to be getting the news that you, it's real, it's good, there's news around you, and maybe coming from what he said to you recently, like you just said, that he, I believe him. I actually believe him. I also feel that it's there's some really sense of fairness, there's justice surrounding this whole situation and with him and you being, getting together in the first place. I think you both are deserving of each other in a very good way. It's not like I'm saying, oh, you both deserve each other, like in a bad way.
Right.
But I'm also, you know, I also am seeing that you don't have all the knowledge, and you soon will even have more so, more knowledge. I believe him. I honestly do. I don't feel that there's anything, like, going on that's that would be betraying. You know what I mean by that. And I know that you're feeling that you're going to get crushed on this one, and because of your, there's some past stuff that, you know, I feel you both are working on. But I believe him, and I feel you should definitely be open to him. Absolutely.
Okay. It's just hard to believe I'm like...
I know, because of your past, I understand
that.
After finding
out what I found out.
I know, but I believe that, you know, you can do, you know, you, take it for what it's worth. The way I read it is every negative can be a positive, or you can, whenever I'm seen, you can make a choice. But I do feel that this is someone that I would trust, and also he's holding on to some past things like you are, and he's scared of getting hurt and all that. I would hate to see you two not try this to move forward on this, because I do feel that it would be worth it. I know you feel hesitant, but it would be up to you,
yeah.
Of course, but I don't feel there's any deceit going on here. I believe him. What he said to you is true.
All right. I guess that's
okay.
It.
And, you know, yeah, you don't have to wait. You're not a fool. Just open yourself up, because everybody's story is different. It's not everybody's the same. If other people will tell you otherwise, probably, I'm sure, they hear your story, but that's what I'm getting. I hope I helped you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, this is the last call from California. Who's calling? Who's calling from California?
I am.
Hello, I am. What's your name?
My name's Michelle.
Michelle, how can I help?
I just wanted to know about my work situation and what's going to happen with that.
Let me see.
I'm trying to get a promotion. We're merging with another department, and it's kind of up in the air, so I want to know what the future is for me with that.
Oh, do you want me to be completely honest?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you want me to be completely honest about what I feel?
Yes.
I don't feel that you would want that job. And I don't feel that after the reorganization, you will want to stay in that organization. What I see, actually, is a need for you to consider options more broadly. In other words, considering options outside that organization. And I feel that later in this year, you'll take an opportunity that offers you a lot more money, but that is not part of that organization you're with now. That's what I see.
Remember
that you need to look at many options that are really exciting for you and not just be focused on one. I feel if you focus purely on this opportunity, you'll be disappointed. But if you open your mind to alternative opportunities, then you'll get a really great outcome. And I feel that by October, you'll be in a role that is exciting and that pays you a lot more money. But I feel to get there, you need to look more widely. Okay?
Okay. Well, that's good news. Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Well, great. We
got
through.
Happy Valentine's. Yes.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We got a lot of callers, so that was really exciting.
That was
it was a good show.
It was a very good show. And Rez, I love having Rez. We love you.
I love you, too.
be really, well, I can speak for Steve because he's going to be the Pope, but right now he's not. So he loves you. Next week, you want me to tell you about that?
Yes, please, Maureen. That's what
next I was week. Ask you. Yeah, next week is on business and spirituality. Spirituality, which is, I think, is everybody can identify with that. Terry Wildman. Wildman will be my guest, and I think it will be an interesting show because, you know, spirituality and business now that we've crossed into the new world, we're still alive, is really important, and so we'll be talking a lot about that and people using more intuition and incorporations and all that. So I reach out to people and say, come on and join us.
Great. Well, thank you, yeah. Maureen, and thank you for being with us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Great guest. Thank you, Rez. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah, Rez, thank you for being with us.
Bobby.
Yeah. Nah,
we miss Bobby and Brenda, but we enjoyed you very much.
We did, Rez. Thank you for taking time to be with us. I want to thank Doug as well for being our executive producer, and thank you to you both for being with us this evening, Maureen and Rez, and our guest as well, Greg, and we'll look forward to another great show next week, and I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend.
Night, everyone.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers, get access, psychic access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, psychicaccess.com.